Blog Talk Radio.
This is DYAFN. Devil, you ain't fooling no one. Brought to you by Nolly Ben Milligan. It's Blog Talk Radio, back at it again. Compliments to host Nolivet Mill again. True friend, listen in as the healing begin. Once again, kicking Satan smack dead in the chin. Been relieved of his duty, all his works are destroyed. Staying strong in the truth, always walking in joy. Devil use a lie, you ain't fooling nobody with your toys. Strap with KJB, 66 to kill all that noise.
Blessed the Lord.
Take it to him. Say, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
with the devil, dog.
Creator of weapon all heaven. The villain of the saints, we go weapon to the day we fly away and hide away in a secret place.
curve to reverse the curve. No less living by birth with the curses. Birth of the land that came first. I can understand and I give a praise for what he's worth, cause he saved my life. In another name that can give you life, like the name Jesus Christ, and that's real.
Amen, amen, amen. The password is Jesus. That is probably my favorite, favorite song by gospel recording artist Canton Jones. I absolutely love how many times he says the name of Jesus. I love how he has described Jesus in so many ways. A healer. He's my friend. He's a provider. I just love that song. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have 46 minutes left in the program. This is only going to be an hour show today. If you would like to call in, please call us at 323-417-6701. Again, the number is area code 323-417-6701. Now to the subject of hand, grace versus gold digging. In today's society, it is not a secret that the church has gotten more and more materialistic when it comes to obtaining things. It is also not a secret about how the church, and not all the churches, of course, but how it looks to the unsaved person that the church is more interested in money than it is in about grace. Even to today, grace is not being taught as often to, let's say, the non-Christian or to the young people who are babes in Christ than it should be. Even today, you know, when we talk about the Bible, there's no secret about gold diggers, okay? Jezebel was a gold digger. Delilah sold out Samson as a gold digger. And, of course, you know, being sold out, women weren't the only ones that did it. Remember, Judas sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, okay? So when we talk about grace versus gold digging, the question is, we as a society, what exactly is Jesus Christ to us? Is he the Savior, the Lord, or is he someone that we treat as a genie? Is he someone that we pray to get the things that we want or to keep away the things that hurt us? What is the Lord Jesus Christ to us? Is he someone whom, you know, we call on only when we need him? Is he someone that we call on to redeem us or whatever? What exactly is the Lord Jesus Christ to us? The period of grace, does it mean anything to us? In the period of grace, do we understand exactly what grace really is? And for those of you who don't know what the definition of grace is, well, let me see if I can describe it as best I can. Back in the Old Testament, there was a time where people had to make sacrifices in order to be redeemed to the Lord for their sins. There were different things that were sacrifices for as animals. You know, there were oxes and rams and different things like that. And then there was lambs. Those were the lambs that were sacrificed in order to be redeemed. Even back in the day when they had tabernacles, we call them churches today, but even when they had tabernacles, there were certain areas in the tabernacle that you could not go. It's like there were priests that went in one part of the tabernacle, and further into the tabernacle, that's where the high priest went, and then into the Holy of Holies is where the highest priest went. And even if the priest was not clean, if the priest was of sin, he would be struck dead right then and there into the Holy of Holies. Now, if you want to know more about this, please get out the Old Testament in your Bible and read about it. Everything I'm telling you is not something that is made up, and it's not an opinion, and this is not something that I have heard. This is something that I've read for myself. The Word of God says to study thyself approved. So whenever you hear someone, regardless of whether it's me, your pastor, or whomever, when they're talking about biblical things, please don't be afraid to step up and look in your Bible and prove us, you know, test us. Okay, it's just like when someone says, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Well, you need to look it up in the Bible and see if that is the word of God. That's Isaiah 54 and 17, by the way, if you want to check me. Going back to the meaning of grace, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, all of those things that were done in the Old Testament to be forgiven of sins, those things were taken away. Jesus Christ became the sacrificial lamb. He took on the sin of the world where we could be redeemed for those who accept him to have our way into heaven. But see, there is a catch to that. In order for us to go into heaven, we have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Okay? And this is the way God ordained it. There's no way to get around it. And people, please don't let anybody else tell you different. It's more than saying just mere words. It is more than just getting on your knees. It's more than that. Because in the 10th chapter of Romans, verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth and believe it in your heart that Jesus Christ died, was crucified, and was buried, and he rose again. In other words, the exact verse, thank you, Lord, the exact verse is, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. Living under the period of grace. Now, this is, I want to read something from you. It's from the Christian Courier, and it's called The True Meaning of Grace. This was written by Mr. Wayne Jackson. Okay, it says the concept of God's grace is thrilling beyond words. It shines its brightest, however, against the backdrop of another aspect of our Creator's nature, that of sacred wrath. Okay, let me kind of emphasize that word wrath. If it wasn't for grace, see, all of us deserve the wrath of God because of our sin nature. But because of grace and mercy, we, all of us who accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior, we do not have to suffer the wrath of God. And know this, anyone who has not accepted Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, they will be experiencing the wrath of God. Even going back into the Old Testament in Exodus, the 20th chapter, the 3rd verse, where the Lord says, thou shalt have no other God before me, for I am a jealous God. Okay? If the Lord Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, then I and Christians around the world will be praying for you, because that means you will be experiencing the wrath of God. Do not fall for the foolishness that other religions are telling you as far as heaven or anything else. The word of God does not need to be proved. It stands all by itself. It stood by itself before we got here, and it will stand by itself before we all leave here, okay, whether we die or whether we get caught up in the rapture. So getting back to grace, and to emphasize on that, the most common Greek word for wrath is or gay. The term occurs 36 times in the New Testament. For an example, Romans, the first chapter, 18, 2 and 5. Another expression denoting wrath is thymos. That is 18 times, like in Revelation 16 and 19 and 19 and 15. And most scholars make some distinction between the terms. Some suggest that thymos is boiling anger, whereas orgy, or however it is pronounced, reflects an abiding and settled state of mind. And perhaps the two terms in concert denote the intense and sustained disposition of God towards evil and those who abandon themselves to it. Okay? The word grace derives from the Greek word charis. In secular Greek, charis was related to charo, to rejoice. As far back as Homer, it denoted sweetness or attractiveness. It came to signify flavor, goodwill, and loving kindness, especially as granted by a superior to an inferior. In the New Testament, the word grace is mentioned 156 times. It takes on a special redemptive sense in which God makes available his favor on behalf of sinners who actually do not deserve it. Now, okay, let's talk about that for a minute. We were all born in iniquity. That iniquity means sin. We were all born into sin. We have all fallen short of the glory. All of us have sinned. None of us are perfect, not according to man's standards, but according to the standards of God. None of us are perfect. This is why grace is so very important. Okay, grace is important because when Jesus died on the cross, that's the grace period. That's when we were redeemed into grace. And because we accepted Christ as our Lord and personal Savior and believed in our heart, that is what made us saved. You see, accepting the Lord as your personal Savior and believing it in your heart, it's a twofold thing as far as being saved. You can't, there are many people who say, well, I accept the Lord as my personal Savior. However, they don't believe it in their heart. And that's a dangerous situation to be in. Okay? Getting back to grace, there is a tremendous emphasis in the New Testament upon the fact that human salvation is the result of heaven's grace. This beautiful truth should never be minimized. At the same time, it must not be perverted. Unfortunately, much too often, those with only a superficial concept of grace, i.e. gold digging, have hijacked the term and foisted upon it a sense alien to scriptural teaching. Let us consider some of the precious Bible truths associated with the concept of salvation by grace. Now, let's flip this to the gold digging part of it. In some of the churches today, praise God, not all of them, but in some of the churches today, they are sitting up giving the impression that in order for you to be redeemed, you have to pay the preacher. You know, and nothing could be further from the truth. You cannot pay the preacher for your redemption. You cannot do it. I don't care how much you give. I don't care how much time you volunteer. When it comes to redemption, redemption comes, it belongs to Jesus Christ alone. Because there are people who are under the impression, well, I do this, 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 and this, and this is why I'm going to get into heaven. Now, mind you, they do things for the church, and yet they have not received Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. They're trying to walk the Christian walk on their terms instead of walking the Christian walk according to the terms of Christ. This is one of the reasons why gold digging is so rampant in the church, case in point. Nowadays, we have pastors and preachers who have more women after them, and I'm speaking of male pastors, who have more women than some of the celebrities in the entertainment world do. Now, let's flip the gold digging part of it. There are opportunistic women who are trying their best to get into the position of first lady. Okay? And they're willing to do whatever is necessary to obtain that single pastor and be in a position of power and money and whatever the case may be, it is the truth. Okay? How and the gold diggers, they will go after any pastor, of position, regardless of whether he's married or not. Okay, let's flip this around on gold digging. There are men out there that are going after Christian women with money because they know that these women are looking, you know, Christian women are looking for a husband, they are looking for a mate, and they feel like all they need to do is tell them what they want to hear, and they in there. They're up in there, as the young people say. Okay? And not to mention the fact you got these, you got single women that they have done very well financially. They have security and everything else. They go to church. They're lonely. They get upset. They're asking the Lord to give them a husband. Lo and behold, Satan sends a gold digger, but he's not a blatant gold digger. Now, he's not a gold digger up front. You know, he's got some covering to him. He may come in a form of a deacon. He may come in the form of a handsome brother at the church. He may come in the form of a minister. And what is he going to do? He has figured you out. He has researched you. He has watched you. He sees certain things about how you dress and how you act and whatever. And what is he going to do? He's going to come straight to you, and he's going to say sweet things to you. And if he gets to first base with you, he's going to take you out to dinner and everything else. And the next thing you know, woman of God, he has used you, beat you out of all of your money, and doesn't want to have anything else to do with you once the money runs out. For you men out there, gold diggers can cook. They are beautiful and will tell you exactly what you want to hear. They will break up your relationships. They will break up your marriage. They will do whatever it takes to get you, and once they're done using you, they're going to throw you away like used trash. This is what gold diggers do. Gold diggers chase two things, money and power. Okay, we don't have to talk about the world because that's what the world is all about. This is what the world does. But we're speaking about the gold digging that happens in the church. I submit to you that if it wasn't for the grace of God, we would all deserve hell, because we all fall short of the glory. We all come up short. If it isn't one thing, it's another. If it's not fornication, it's adultery. If it's not lying, it's stealing. If it's not pride, it's ego. If it's not this, it's not that. We all, in one way or another, fall short of the glory. And here's another thing that gold diggers do. Gold diggers are always praying to Jesus Christ to give them whatever they want. Uh-oh. I said something then. You pray to the Lord to give you things. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. Now, I'm not talking about things like, Lord, give me peace. Lord, give me strength to overcome things. Those are not the things I'm talking about. The things that I'm talking about are things that are materialistic. Lord, or better yet, non-materialistic. Lord, give me that man. Now, you know that man is married, but you say, Lord, I want that man. I want that man right there. In other words, you expect the Lord to break up his marriage and bring him to you. And why? Because you and this man have been talking or having an affair, or whatever the case may be. You have fallen in love. He's not in love with you, and you want him. You think that you are better for him than his wife is, and that's surprising because you don't know him all that well. Just because you sleep with him, it doesn't mean that you know him that well. And I'm telling you right now, the Lord don't bless no mess. He does not break up marriages to give a man to another woman. That doesn't happen. It won't happen ever. Satan will do that, but not the Lord. Okay? And then we pray to the Lord, like let's say we buy a lottery ticket. Lord, please do something about this lottery ticket and let me hit so I can have some money. Yeah, we do that, you know. Or, Lord, my bills need to be paid. Could you bless me with some money so I can pay my bills? Now, here's the problem with that prayer. There's nothing wrong with talking to Jehovah Jireh about being a provider. The problem with that is that you have an ulterior motive. You don't want to pay your bills with it. You either want to go shopping or you want to do some other kind of foolishness with it. What is surprising is that people don't get that the Lord knows your heart when you're asking for something. Okay? How about, Lord, I want to be this. I want to be successful. I want to have a successful business. I want to be successful in entertainment. I want to be successful in sports. I want to be successful in music, yada, yada, yada. Okay. Now, let's say the Lord grants you that. Let's say he gives you that. What you going to do to honor him? Or what do we do to honor him? Because I have to include myself in this. I'm not above anyone or anything. But what do we do to honor him in this? What do? We become spiteful, egotistical, selfish, and self-centered. Okay? Because when you lie and scheme to get to the top, you got to keep lying and scheming to stay there. And then where are the prayers? When the Lord does bless us in prayers, what do we do to honor him? Do we just say thank you and that's that? Or do we turn around and become a blessing to someone else the way the Lord is a blessing to us? What is our motive? What is the motive that we have when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he just a genie to us? Is he someone that we call on when we need him? Or is he someone that we honor in all aspects of our lives? Do we take the time to say, Lord, thank you for all that you're doing, all that you've done, or all that you're going to do? Lord, we thank you for mercy and grace. Lord, I know that I deserve hell, but your blood covers the crimson stain. Lord, I thank you for saving me, for saving my family, for saving my friends and their families. Lord, decrease me and increase you that I may serve you the way you want to be served. Do we think of the Lord in that way? Do we ever care about what he wants? Do we ever care about what makes him happy? Do we even care about pleasing him, praising him, worshiping him, magnifying him? How many times do we do that? Or are we just gold diggers? Are we people that take what we want, say thank you, and go on about our business? There is no gratitude there. There's no appreciation there. Is that what we're about? Is that what the Lord Jesus is to us? Is that what Father God Jehovah is to us? When we were homeless and starving, we didn't have any money to pay our bills. And then the Lord blesses us to take care of our bills, gives us somewhere to stay and everything else. And then when he blesses us, we won't even complain about that because it's not enough. Thank you for the shelter, but could I have a bigger house, please? Lord, I thank you for paying the bills, but could I have some extra money to do such and thus and so? And we can't even take the time to give the Lord a few minutes per day to read his word and just simply say thank you. Sounds like a gold digger to me. Brothers and sisters, it's time for us to stop treating the Lord Jesus Christ like he is a gold digger. Not a gold digger, but we have to stop acting like gold diggers towards him. We got to stop treating the Lord Jesus Christ like he is a genie. We rub the lamp three times and he grants us three wishes. He is not a genie. He doesn't have to be. He never was. The Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Son of the living God, the living Son of God. He is the begotten Son of God. And sometimes I think that we forget that because we're so caught up in different things going on in our lives. Anyway, right now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to play a little music. And if you would like to call in, the number is area code 323-417-6701. This is one of my favorite songs from my personal collection. It's an oldie but a goodie, as the cliche says. It is called There He Is by Trinity 5-7. I pray that it move your soul right here on the DYAFN radio program.
Clouds away, and who said? searching for Jesus. Mary, reach out and touch him. Call out his name. Don't be afraid. Look up in the sky. The bird is the same.
Whenever I hear it, I first heard that particular song when I was going to a program, and these young men did it in pantomime, and it just blew me away. I was crying all over the place. I probably was crying so much that I could have bought stock in the Kleenex department. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we have 14 minutes left in the program. The number to call, area code 323-417-6701. Now, before we get out of here, ladies and gentlemen, my brother, Pastor Kumar, is on the line. Pastor Kumar is from India, and Pastor Kumar is trying to raise money, so, you know, for his church building in India. Pastor Kumar and his family have an absolutely awesome, awesome ministry that is in India. Pastor Kumar, you are live on the air with DYASN. How are you doing, my brother?
Yeah, we are
Pastor
fine,
Kumar?
Sister. We are fine. Yes, I am from India, Pastor Kumar. We are fine.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Oh, go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, by the grace of God, we are fine, and I request you to, one prayer request, we need new church building for the worship service. We are worshipped in a hut church, but sometimes cyclones here and heavy rain here, the church roof is very damaged. That's why we are very uncomfortable that hut church. So we need new church building. So through this program, I request radio program, we need prayer support and donation for the new church building.
Go ahead.
Through this radio program, I ask to all radio hearers, viewers, and all American people, I greet you all, and greetings to in the name of mighty Jesus Christ. And so please, this is my humble request. We need your blessings. We need your prayer support for my ministry. My ministry is Agape Ministry in India. So I am doing ministry in rural villages. There is no church in the village because they are all worshipped idols. So I have a vision for the perishing souls. I have a vision for the perishing souls for the kingdom of God. So presently, I am doing ministry in rural villages. So one of the village, presently we started ministry. So that place we need new church building. That's why I asked for a prayer request and donations for the new church building. This is my humble request and prayer request. Thank you for all.
Oh, you're more than welcome, Pastor Kumar. Now, for those of you who are listening to this broadcast, now these will be your tax-deductible donations if you want to donate to Pastor Kumar's church building fund. I have posted the information on my Facebook page. You can also email me at at gmail.com. And Pastor Kumar also has an email address. Pastor Kumar's email address is atmakumark@gmail.com. Okay? It is Kumar, in other words, it's Pastor Kumar at gmail.com, atmakumark@gmail.com. And Pastor Kumar, we're going to pray right now before we go off the air because we got 10 minutes left. So do you mind if I pray with you right now in the mighty matchless name of Jesus?
Yes, yes, I pray with you.
Okay, all right. Father God, in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to serve you in this way.
Thanks.
Lord, this radio program is for your glory and for your glory alone. I am only a vessel that you use to spread your word. And Father God, in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, I thank you for blessing Pastor Nagu Kumar and his family in India. Thank you for blessing the Agape ministry that he has. And Lord, we thank you in advance for his new church building in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Jehovah Jireh, thank you for not only providing for the church, but providing for all of his needs right here and right now, that he may keep on winning souls for you, Lord, that he may keep on ministering and preaching and teaching the gospel in your name, Lord Jesus. And Father God, in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, strengthen my brother, strengthen his wife, strengthen his daughters, strengthen their whole ministry, Lord, in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for taking care of all of their needs. And thank you so much, Lord, for the many people that are going to be touched by this ministry. And thank you for giving me the provisions to go to India and visit Pastor Kumar and his family. All these things I ask in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus that I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sister, for your valuable prayers for my ministry and my family. Thank you for your fellowship. Thank you for your love. God bless.
You're more than welcome, Pastor Kumar. I know that I don't get a chance to talk to you as often as I would like to because, of course, I'm building a business. But I hope and pray in Jesus' name that we will talk more often, and I will be coming to India to visit you if the Lord says
Amen.
So also.
Lord. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Well,
Amen.
Pastor Kumar,
Amen.
Thank you very much for calling in. And I have posted the information on my Facebook page. I will also post it on my Twitter and my LinkedIn page, okay?
Okay. Thank you, sister. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your support. Thank you, Sister.
You're more than welcome. Have a blessed day, Pastor Kumar.
Amen. Thank you, Sister. Thank you. How are you? Blessed day.
You too, sir. Pardon? Bye-bye. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we got 6 minutes left in the program. And before we go, this program is being sponsored by Gifts by Nightly Vet. LaBella Baskets. Ladies and gentlemen, this is my gift business that the Lord has led me to reopen. I first opened my gift business in January of 2000. And, of course, I couldn't keep the business going regularly because, well, I was diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, I had to go through those different things. In my personal life, I went through a divorce. I went through financial devastation. I had to I lost a lot of things. I filed bankruptcy, all this kind of thing. But you know what? God's mercy still prevails. His grace still prevailed in my life. And now I have restarted my business. I have stepped out on faith. And family, I am the one who asked the Lord to not make me a borrower, not make me a lender, but I want to be a giver. I want to be a giver into the kingdom. And so I stepped out on faith and started this give business again. I have over 1,000 items that on the site for every one of your gift-giving needs. You know, I have everything from gift baskets for Valentine's Day, and I'm right in the middle of a Valentine's Day promotion, by the way. And I also have gifts for babies, you know, like in baby showers. I have personalized gifts. Anyone that's a cigar aficionado, I have all kinds of gifts. And if you would go to my website, www.giftsbynylivet.labellabaskets.com. Again, that is www.giftsbynylivet.labellabaskets.com. Take a look around and see the different things that we have to offer. We also have to offer a contest where we give baskets to single moms every month, and we also have a savers club, where you can save 20% on all of your purchase all the time, you know. Also, we have something, a candle called a Candle of the Month Club. This Candle of the Month Club, ladies and gentlemen, this is fantastic, especially for you candle lovers out there, like me, of course. We have some fabulous smelling candles that would just bring such joy to your house. It'll bring such joy to you. You know, there is a certain ambience when you have an exquisite smelling candle. Again, my website is www.giftsbynylivet.labellabaskets.com. And this particular business does support the DYAFM radio program. That's what the Lord has led me to do. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, I'm right at the beginning of it, but I'm very grateful and I'm very thankful for it. Anyway, that's all there is today. Thank you very much for joining us here on the DYAFM radio program. Please tune in next week. And I will be pasting on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Google+. I'm on all of those social medias. So until then, ladies and gentlemen, God bless you. Receive this from Psalms 100, the third verse. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. God bless you today. It all came from me. You know, you know, you know, you know.
the time to look above. And you know you can't sing about love without singing about me.
Devil, you ain't fooling no one. Brought to you by Nolly Ben Milligan.
It's Blog Talk Radio, back at it again. Compliments to host Nolivette Mills again. True friend, listen in, let the healing begin. Once again, kicking Satan smack dead in the chin. Been relieved of his duty, all his works are destroyed. Staying strong in the truth, always walking in joy. Devil, use a lie, you ain't fooling nobody with your toys. Strapped with KJV, 66 to kill all that noise.